from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We come to H time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, here we go. Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast. Seth Payne, what's going on, my man?
I'm impressed with you, man.
Why?
I just, for everybody listening, Sean is like many of you that might be listening, you know, via generator or in your car or just walking around your neighborhood wondering what to do. Sean does not have power, and for a radio host, also does not have internet for the most part. And it's been and you're also trying to manage a whole boatload of other stuff in your life. So I think you better than me, because I'm blessed with power right this moment. Can really empathize with a lot of people out there right now. So I'm glad that you made it in today. I was afraid that you were gonna have to hike here or something.
It is a quote-unquote hike from my house anyway, most people would say, but a peaceful 30-minute drive with nobody else really on the roadways when you're coming in at 3:30 in the morning. Good, you know, because I come from the Lake Houston area, for people that don't know, to Greenway. It's a 30-minute drive when you're chilling and you're driving like you're supposed to. Wink, nod.
Yeah.
I got here in like 25 minutes this morning. I mean, I was cruising, man, just enjoying it.
Just wide lanes, just no obstructions, and off you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
It was nice.
I'll tell you one thing, because I know you weren't able to watch the game last night. Two things caught my attention. One was Blanco's hair was purple. And I was catching the tail end of the explanation from Julia Morales. I believe that they had bought the wrong dye color or something. So he dyed it purple and showed up to the ballpark wearing nothing but purple. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, Blanco Purpura is gonna be, this is gonna be incredible. This is gonna be like when Framber got the extensions in his hair and he just kept on trucking. He lets up a solo home run early. And you're thinking, oh crap, this is going to be, I think it was the first at bat. And, I'm immediately thinking, no, you got to dye it back with one of your three already. Jersey changes that you make over the course of a game. Yes, you got to dye it back. He ended up being just great. It had two solo home runs.
Yeah.
After that first home run, he, let's see, there was a fielder's choice and then he retired 16 batters in a row. So he was very, very good last night in what turned out to be a pitching duel.
Damn, did he roll?
And, Yeah. The other big thing that I noticed immediately was, you know, from the first inning in Houston, where it's typically a somewhat late arriving crowd, our over under, whatever I set it at yesterday for attendance last night,
I said it at 25,000
immediately.
Yeah, I said it at 25,000.
Okay. You said it at 25. I took the under, like a hard under on that.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at the actual attendance stats, but just by the eyeball test, there were a lot of people there last night for a Tuesday night game, whether there's a hurricane or not. So I think a lot of people thought, oh, and what was the deal that the Astros offered up? They made it very enticing to go to the ballpark.
So I saw that, and Adam Spillane, who's here in the studio chilling with us as well for a couple hours this morning, literally just chilling, you may or may not hear from him, told me and it's confirmed that the Astros made select tickets available for $5 for last night and the rest of the series, so for the next two nights to go see Astros and Marlins. $5 tickets, man. And I checked the box score this morning. On Dollar Dog Night. That's pretty badass. You know, Spo sits in the press box, and with the way the press box is situated at Minute Maid now, it's not like it used to be. So your vision is kind of even more limited now than what it was before. You can't see really anybody above you and behind you, like on the wings, you know, that are sitting between home plate and first base or home plate and third base on either side of you. But there was 37,000 people there, according to the box score last night. So pretty good attendance.
So you get a $5 ticket on Dollar Dog Night. So if you're without power and air conditioning, and they did claim 72 degrees last night, so the AC was working.
Of course,
like they've nailed that out over the course of the season. And so Dollar Dog Night, you get air conditioning, you get calories, and you get the sodium that a lot of people that haven't had air conditioning probably desperately need. They probably kept some people from just spiraling downward last night. And it helped that the Astros won in a game versus the Marlins, who we rarely see at Minute Maid Park. Just once in the last 10 years have the Marlins visited before last night.
Really?
I was talking to my wife about that last night. I was like, I can't remember the last time the Marlins played in Houston, and Callis and Blum, they had bad information. They said it had been 10 years since the Marlins had been there, and I felt like a good Astros fan, because I was like, oh, yeah, okay, see? Yeah, of course I can't remember the last time they were here. They were immediately corrected via, I'm guessing, millions of people on Twitter that said, no, they'd actually been there like 4 years ago for a short series.
I was going to say, Marlins, it should be about every 4 years, you know, as you rotate the NL divisions that you play, you know, just like they do in the NFL. So it shouldn't have been that
long. Right, right.
Feels like it.
But it's just, the playing the Marlins is generally a forgettable experience. Unless Marlins guy is in the sitting behind home plate, there's nothing notable about it.
No, you're right. You know, maybe the 3 years that have actually meant something for the Fish, you know, in the last decade and a half, two decades, that's it. Both of them, at least, I won't say both of them. There's probably been a couple of more memorable ones outside of the ones when they won the World Series.
Can we talk just briefly about the saga that is Derek Jeter? And, like, of all franchises, as much as we hate the Yankees, you got to acknowledge, man, if you're an all-time Yankees great, that's a pretty cushy existence. You get the nice studio jobs. You probably never have to pay for a meal or a drink in New York City.
Right.
And yet, And yet, one of the most beloved Yankees of all time, Derek Jeter, has a frosty relationship with Yankees management and Yankees ownership. And meanwhile, he's down there just in Florida. He was down there just not doing anything to get anybody to like him as part of the Marlins staff. I don't, and it doesn't seem like it bothers him all that much. I guess it's maybe just a testament to how miserable an organization the Yankees are. Like, well, one that you would expect, okay, they spend more than everybody, or just about everybody, almost every single year, and that it, yet it doesn't seem to matter come playoff time. And Jeter probably is like, yeah, until Cashman et al. Get the hell out of there, I'm not going to be a part of this sinking franchise.
Yeah.
Lofted up by expensive life buoys.
Yeah, well done. I guess Jeter, you know, he's officially done with them, right? Like, he's
right,
there's
right,
no affiliation
yeah.
there. Like, is there even a minority stake for him in that in the Marlins?
I think he just ran away.
He might have just run away. He might be
Jeter
right.
Announced in 2022, they've agreed to officially end their relationship.
There you
so I don't
go.
Think he has any involvement at all.
You know, meanwhile,
he does car commercials and carts his kids around.
Yeah, he's making his money in other ways. He's always been a pretty smart guy in that
yeah,
area,
oh yeah, yeah.
in multiple areas of his life for sure. But yeah, he's a far better broadcaster, I would say, these days than he ever was a baseball owner. Which, shocker, I think we all probably would have predicted as much. But, you know, last night, you're right, I didn't get a chance to see one single solitary second of the game, but studying the box score, it's pretty clear and evident that Alex Bregman was Mr. Clutch again last night. The go-ahead RBI single in the fifth, right? Then the go-ahead two-run homer in the seventh. Both big situations with two outs. So he had 3 2-out RBIs for the Astros, who won last night 4-3. I don't know if you had a chance, Seth, to listen to Bregman after the game, but this is what he'd said talking about how big of a week it was.
This is an extremely huge week for us. We didn't finish the first half strong. Obviously, we got over 500, but there's still a lot of work left to do, and this is a big week for us.
Yeah, you and I were just talking about yesterday what exactly that, you know, what a big week it is going to be for the Astros. You need to take care of this three-game series against the Fish. You got three games with the Texas Rangers coming up before you go into the All-Star break. Those three games against the Rangers in particular are huge. And so if you're like me and you'd felt like ever since that first 13-12 win in Minnesota, with Carlos Correa hitting a grand slam in the ninth inning, that just seemed to kind of take the wind out of the Astros' sails, you know, for that night, the rest of that night, and in the next 2 days following, in which the Astros lost both of those ball games by one and two runs, I think, respectively. It just seemed to, like, kind of take the wind out of their sails. They needed a get-right game after a day off, like last night, get a good performance out of Rennell. Bregman comes up clutch, maybe giving a little bit of juice back to the Astros for this final home stretch.
I don't know. I guess I didn't. I wasn't as morose about the loss to the losing the series to the Mariners, just because
the Twins.
Excuse me, to the Twins. Mm-hmm. Just because it's not look, they're a good baseball team, and
yeah.
the biggest thing I've been nervous about out of that series and previously was just Josh Hader and his giving up four home runs in his last six appearances prior to last night. So that's one of those little hanging annoyances that you hope gets ironed out soon, but they've been able to forge on despite it over the course of the last seven series now. So they've won six of the last seven series. They have a lead against the Marlins in this what would be this eighth series in their turnaround. And as long as they get out of this week winning the series versus the Marlins, which is an absolute okay, you got to do this. You're not officially a good baseball team yet, so you're not playing down. You're not playing down to anybody nearly as much as you typically would be. And then you've got a chance to, you know, in a lot of ways, I would say right the wrongs versus the Rangers of a lot of what's been happening since midway through last season.
Yeah.
So, you know, last year at the end of the season, when they controlled their own fate, when the Astros controlled.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hold their own fate. They really just kind of slid into lucking out and getting into that wild card spot, and then obviously you lose to the Rangers in the playoffs. So, as much as you try to diminish the importance of in-season, you know, individual series, look, that Baltimore series was a big series.
Yes, it was.
The Twins series is a big series, even as I'm trying to slough it off a little bit. But this Rangers series, as much as an in-middle-of-the-season series can be, right before the All-Star break, when you're going to get some guys back over the next few weeks, supposedly. Mm-hmm. And that's the other big news for anybody that missed it, because you're without power or you're just otherwise occupied. Just one really bad thing. Lance McCullers has had to stop his rehab momentarily because he's feeling discomfort still after that flexor tendon surgery, which is just the latest in his saga. And then there's no really good news on Verlander other than that his neck is still sore and they're trying to be very careful with it.
Yeah, I'm going to actually put Adam Spillane to work when we come back for the next segment, because he's here. He was down at the ballpark yesterday. I would imagine can fill us and everybody else in pretty well with updates on both Justin Verlander and, well, the inevitable, for all you cynical bastards out there that were just waiting on the bad news to strike for Lance McCullers Jr. I'll let Adam Spillane fill us all in on both of those guys when we come back. He's Seth Payne. I'm Sean Bajani, in for Sean Pendergast. More Strohs coming up next at Sports Radio 610.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Well, if it continues to progress the way I would like, hopefully it's not too long. I don't even know what too long means as I say that, though. So, it could be very soon, could be a few weeks. I don't know the answer to that.
Tremendous.
Oh.
Thank you for the update, Justin Verlander. Thanks for that.
This is... So Justin Verlander with his neck pain or discomfort... This is one of those things that I find it funnier. It's fun to watch Chandler Rome, the Athletic beat writer, is always just so upset when he can't get an ironclad description of what's going on with an injury. And I think sometimes he's got a valid complaint, but in a situation like this where somebody's got neck discomfort, I think maybe it's hard sometimes for people to accept that, man, like, it's not an exact science. You just, there's discomfort. It's probably a stinger, a pinched nerve, or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And there's just no way of predicting exactly when it's going to be right. I'll say just from personal experience, like, football, obviously a lot different, but I had chronic stingers my entire career. And there were times where there's no way in hell I could go out and play defensive tackle, but there's no way in hell I could have gone out and pitched, because there were times where I just couldn't raise my arm, like, above 90 degrees away from my, like, for, damn. Or even, there were times where I couldn't raise it above, like, 45 degrees at points during the season.
Really?
And, you just got to fight through it, and you don't know exactly what's going to fix it. You just keep doing treatment. And I think Verlander is likely got something like that right now, where you just kind of wait for everything to calm down and see what happens. And it's just extra frustrating when you're in the situation the Astros are in right now with their starting pitcher.
Yeah. He's Seth Payne, Sean Bajani, in for Sean Pendergast. Also in studio with us is Adam Spillane, who was down at the ballpark last night. And Spo, I would imagine, you have a little bit better perspective on this. Maybe you can add, because as Seth is talking about having to actually go through something similar, at least to what we've kind of been able to surmise, we think we know about Justin Verlander and what he's going through in terms of neck discomfort, how it's maybe led to, his throwing motions and stuff like that. What have you kind of observed in this particular situation, and what can you tell us to maybe that you've been maybe been able to apply to this that you've learned before about neck discomforts in pitchers in baseball before?
Well, I really haven't learned anything, because the team just hasn't articulated anything.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the frustration comes, is that, Seth, you talked about having a stinger. Well, the team won't say whether or not it's a stinger. And even you ask,
if it's just a pinched nerve or whatever. Yeah.
They won't even say. They just say, well, it's just discomfort. Well, what does that mean? Where is the discomfort coming from? Is it the upper neck, the lower? We don't know. And Chandler actually asked Verlander yesterday, he's like, so have you been able to pinpoint exactly what is wrong with your neck? And he points over to the trainer's room and he says, ask them. Well, the Astros don't make their trainers available to the media. So it's kind of like you're just running in circles almost with this sort of stuff. So it's really difficult to say anything at this point.
That's where, like, in this situation, I give them a pass. And I think they've been better this year. At least I find myself feeling less completely lost more often. Now, there was the whole Javier and Urquidy situation where they're telling us that, they're feeling better as they're going off to get second opinions. Hey, they're not in pain anymore. Like, okay. By the way, they're getting Tommy John surgery. Both of them, hand in hand.
Yeah. So, all right, what we know in regards to Justin Verlander is that he's been playing catch at about a distance of 60 feet, right? So it's nothing on the hill, right? He's not right. throwing off a mound. He's just simply playing catch. When you kind of took us through that interaction just now between Justin Verlander and Chandler Rome, did you sense a great deal of frustration from Verlander? Was that like kind of him being sarcastic? Like, well, go ask the training staff. They know everything, you know? What did you get from that?
Not really. I didn't really, you know, take anything from that interaction, to be honest with you. I just know that he seemed encouraged yesterday. He's okay. been playing catch every other day. He is now going more than every other day. You know, maybe it's two out of every 3 days. I don't know exactly what it is. And yesterday he was able to up the intensity while playing catch. So, I mean, he's again, we hear this every day. He's making progress, and that's kind of been the same thing that they say about Kyle Tucker every day. He's making progress, but they just won't say like what that progress is and how close they are to actually like doing stuff.
When
I'd like them,
sorry, Seth. When a pitcher's kind of going through something like this, like Verlander is, he's not throwing off of a mound, but he's playing catch maybe multiple times a day, right?
No, it's just once a day.
Or once a day, yeah. But you're saying multiple times a week.
Yes.
Then, okay. So when he's going through that process, will they go through like a up-down, even though they're not throwing off of a... They won't?
No, not when they're just playing catch like
okay.
that. Like when you... They'll start doing like up and downs when you get into like a live BP. To okay. like kind of simulate innings and in the breaks in between innings. So they were doing that with Garcia before he started making his rehab starts. They were doing that with Verlander when he was coming back from the shoulder thing early in the season.
Yeah.
So like that's when they simulate that sort of stuff. But no, he's not at that point yet.
I gotcha.
And McCullers is just flat out doing nothing at all for the moment.
Which yeah.
What did you, Adam? I was kind of thinking like September 1st. I had pushed it back. I was thinking maybe Lance will be back in August, and then I slowly pushed it back to September 1st. Is September 1st aggressive without having really all the information or anything? But if you look at his rehab path compared to like Luis Garcia, Luis Garcia has been in the minors for a while now, and Lance is just still stuck where he is. Is September 1st optimistic?
Yeah, probably. I mean, just when you think about the things that the thresholds that McCullers has not yet been able to cross. As far as I know, he has not faced hitters. As far as I know, he hasn't thrown any sort of simulated game, and that's just, and it's going to be. It's not like he's just going to make two rehab starts and boom, he's back. No, he's going to probably make four or five rehab starts, and so you look at the calendar and days keep coming off that calendar, and so it seems like this was a pretty big snag that he hit. So I don't know when he's going to come back, if he's even able to come back this season. I mean, they did get... I mean, so bad news there. Good news, though, with Garcia, just because everything seems to be headed in the right direction with his rehab. He'll make another rehab start here probably Friday, maybe even Thursday. He got pushed back. Everything got pushed back for him by a day because of the storm, and he couldn't throw on Monday. But at least he's headed in the right direction. Like, that's good news. Jake Bloss headed in the right direction. He'll probably start the game on Thursday. They're basically hitting all their pitchers.
We did power rankings yesterday of the guys for whom we're excited to come back. Like, what's our excitement level? And Sean was a little surprised because I, like, very irrationally and without paying attention to reality whatsoever, I'm allowing myself to get really excited about Bloss coming back just because of the unknown upside. Yep. Because there's so much potential there. And more times than not in a situation like this where a super young guy like Bloss is thrust into majors way before they would have, it's probably going to end disastrously. And yet, I'm like grasping onto this hope that somehow Bloss becomes a rookie phenom.
You've never seen him fail before. That's why. You've just never seen him fail.
Yes!
That's right. That's a really good point. Without...
That's why people love young players, is that they've never seen them fail.
Yeah, that's like Bryce Matthews when he was first in Double-A. You know, he goes off on a tear, and you're just like, well, look at this. I mean, he's just got drafted. He's in Double-A, and he's crushing it. And then, lo and behold, he's going to have to work on some things. He's not been quite as magnificent since then. It obviously doesn't mean he's a bad prospect. It means he's like 99% of all prospects.
Got a text. You can text into the show, 713-572-4610. From the 713, they say, I'm at the point in the Lance McCullers journey that I don't want to ever hear from him again. till the second he steps onto the major league mound. I wish him the best, but I'm over him. And no more HEB commercials either. There's a lot of people, unless this is the same texter from different numbers, like different burner phones, dummy lines. We've heard and like read
one,
that text.
A one-man campaign against Lance McCullough. No, I think that's pretty universal. Is that?
Yeah.
Even if you keep in mind that he was awesome in 2022, right up until Game 3 of the World Series, in which he still put in a good performance and having a horrible performance and just staying out and eating up innings after the game was out of hand so they could reserve everybody for later on. But he was really, really good that season. He was really, really good the previous season that he had pitched. And I think it just, the fact that there's been such an ongoing saga with him and that, look, you know, Click did give him that contract, and it's just sitting there. If he hadn't ever gotten a lucrative contract or what have you, I think people might feel a lot different about it. But that always just doubles down on people's emotions.
Yeah. Well, and what was that contract? When it was $85 million over the course of like 7 years,
5 years.
Was it 5 years? Yeah.
It was at the time a great contract. Yeah. When you consider that he was an above average starting mm-hmm. pitcher who was, I think he was 27 or something like that when he signed it. Like that's a great deal for somebody who had come off of a really good 2020, coming back from Tommy John surgery. He was great in 2021 and he was healthy for the most part that season. And you wonder if they don't ask him to make that start against the White Sox on 3 days rest, and that's when all this stuff with the forearm really started, how are things different for him? Because asking him, they basically told him last second, hey, we want you to start this game on short rest. If he does not do that, if he has like full preparation or at least knows a couple days ahead of time that he's going to start on 3 days rest, how different are the last few years for him? And you just feel bad for it. It's not like he's choosing to get hurt. Like, this is not his, this is basically completely out of his control. And it's just been one of those things where he just can't catch a break with it.
It's the hardest thing when a guy basically does everything that you as a fan would want, that a lot of modern athletes don't do, which is to fight through injury, to, you know, put in a selfless effort for the team, whether it's injury or in a bad performance or anything like that. He does everything that we claim we want. And yet when you get the bad side of a risky decision like that, like it's so easy to just abandon any credit you gave him for fighting through stuff. Like Jake Myers was kind of in the same boat. The guy hurts his arm crashing into the wall, playing exactly the same way you want a guy to play. And it just took forever for him to come back from that. It's tough. I try to put him off in a different compartment in my brain. And just, if he arrives, then awesome. But I don't want to even think about the situation, because I don't feel good about being angry about Lance McCullers when he's just his own worst enemy sometimes is that he's such a bulldog and just wants to go out there and fight no matter what.
Between the two guys, fellas, if we're being honest, Lance McCullers and Jake Myers, since you brought him up, it's...
Chris Myers played injured a lot, too.
Yeah, but you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? Because Lance, as you said, and you're correct in my opinion, that he's done and said everything that you want a guy to do in this position for your team. He got a really team-friendly contract that we thought at the time, right? He was a really good pitcher, well above average. It's just he's been hurt. He hasn't been able to play to... you know, make heads or tails of that contract and to be that guy that once said, bury me in the H. And we wanted to, I mean, what fan base of a baseball, basketball, football team doesn't want somebody like that on it? And then here you have Jake Myers at the other end of the spectrum who, yeah, ever since he ran into the wall in Chicago and hurt his shoulder a few years ago, he's actually played baseball, but for a long period of time just hasn't been very good at it until stretches this year where he's playing the best he'd ever had at the major league level. And this is a really good story, but it doesn't appease fans either way. It doesn't matter what you say. Yeah. It doesn't matter what you do. You just have to play, and you have to play well for fans to ultimately welcome you with open arms and keep you as one of theirs.
And I think the mistake that the Astros made was that they essentially went into the season relying on McCullers, and they basically said, he's coming back. We expect him back, you know, after the All-Star break, and he's going to, you know, it's like making a trade. You know, this is our deadline trade is getting Lance McCullers, and now all of a sudden that's thrown up in the air, and, you know, this is a team that is in desperate need of starting pitching, and, you know, Ronel Blanco crossed 100 innings last night, and he's going to be in uncharted territory pretty soon. Same thing with Spencer Arrighetti. Like, they're in kind of a perilous situation when it comes to their rotation.
Well, and Hunter Brown, too, as awesome as he's been, you know, he's going to end up pitching more innings than he's ever pitched before, most likely. And he struggled with that last year when he pitched 162 innings. That's, they are in a precarious situation. That's part of the Astros, even as generally I feel really good about what they've been doing, they still are in this precarious position. That's where some of the decisions that the really, really all-time teams that are able to sustain dynasties, like the Patriots in football, like it's knowing when to say goodbye to guys, or at the very least not rely on the older guys. And Abreu obviously was an errant decision on an older guy. Verlander, on his contract, I'm cool with, but you can't go into the season, like you said, Adam, you can't go into the season relying on certain things like an older pitcher to remain injury free, or on Lance McCullers coming back when he's been continually banged up and injured. There's nothing you can really do about Lance McCullers injury, but it's just other than manage the roster differently around it. That was Joe Shane on Hard Knocks has been getting a lot of crap for how he handled the Saquon Barkley situation, not because he let him go, but just some of the things he did.
Yeah.
But like at the root of it all, I think that he made the right decision when it comes to managing a roster and knowing that, look, Saquon Barkley might end up being one of these exceptions to a rule and end up being great when he's 28, 29, 30, but we can't take that risk right now because we got to spend money elsewhere. And it's a hard decision to make to let go of a really good football player, but I get it. I get what he did. And it's just, it's that much harder when you're a team that's already good because you got to make hard decisions like that.
He's Seth Payne, Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast, Adam Spillane hanging out with us as well this morning. Our baseball talk presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Coming up next, we'll have headlines and... Well, this is going to be fun. It's a hodgepodge of things you won't want to miss. It involves Dallas, a little sex abuse, a quarterback hunter, and, a Yankee or two, maybe three. And who's going to be in and out? That's next at Sports Radio 610.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, first up on headlines, Ocho is human. Don't worry about it, my man. We've got our daily update from Ocho via the text line, Seth. He says, SB, I just manually lifted my garage door to take out the trash because I have no power. But upon my return, I habitually pressed the garage door button to close it. Good morning. Good morning. You awake yet, Ocho? I did the same thing like multiple times yesterday. It's going to happen, man. In terms of power outages, thanks for reminding. That'll be our first headline for the day. According to the latest tracker on CenterPoint, now 1.37 million in change. Customers still affected with power outages in and around the area.
A lot of people have been using the Whataburger app, apparently.
What's up with this? Do
I don't know
share,
exactly
please.
How it works.
You don't understand how it works.
Because CenterPoint's map had gone on the fritz yesterday.
Yeah.
There's the apparently Whataburger's app and just finding out which ones are open or have power. It provides real time updates on location closures using a gray Whataburger logo to indicate which stores are closed. So customers are watching the app to know which areas of the state have restored power.
Ah, there you go. Yeah.
So there you go. Whataburger.
If a Whataburger is operational, chances are that the surrounding area is good. Is that the idea there? It's the philosophy?
Dude, I'll tell you what. If you're a Whataburger without power, it's that much more urgent than in a lot of places because you can grab some stuff out of the freezer and take it to somewhere else where that fresh meat... They don't freeze it, man. So you got to get it the hell to a freezer ASAP. A lot probably a lot of Whataburger managers working 24-hour shifts.
I am dreading having to clean out my freezer when power comes back on and everything is kind of restored back to normalcy. It's going to be a disaster, man. And it's going to be sitting
right
in my trash. Well, yeah, no, it's too late. It's been defrosted for a good 48 hours
it's probably take your meat thermometer and see if it's still at 42 degrees or less. Maybe it's still at refrigerated temperature, or you're completely kaput.
I have not checked. I'm just afraid to check. Yeah, it's
afraid to open it at
all. Yeah, I am. My neighbors yesterday asked me, and I'm kind of making my rounds, checking on people in the hood, their fences and stuff like that. And one of my neighbors was like, yeah, how'd you make out? And I was like, well, everything seems to be okay. Like, you know, carpet's dry, no leaks inside the house. But to be honest with them, I said, I haven't really looked too closely at my shingles because I'm afraid of what I might find. And so, you know, with no water being in the house, it's like, I'm good right now. I'll check on all of that stuff later. Ignorance is kind of bliss for me at this point in time.
I'm not going to criticize any of your strategies right now. You got a lot going on.
I do. But I'm going to have to bite the bullet at some point in time. Dak Prescott says nothing is wrong with his ankle. You can choose to believe what you want to about this situation, but many people obviously aware by now that Dak Prescott, Cowboy quarterback, was seen in a walking boot while on vacation in Cabo. Picture posted of him last week already, was it, on Twitter?
It was posted on Twitter, but then there was a clarification immediately after that it was from earlier in the offseason.
Yeah.
It wasn't clear like that was a current picture. It was just something from nobody knows exactly when it was.
Right. It seemed a little sketch, right? Well, yesterday at a youth football camp that he was hosting in South Lake, he said he's doing great. Here's a quote from Prescott. Quote, honestly, I'm getting older. It's the same ankle that I snapped and I had a nasty surgery on 4 years ago. So a couple of hard days of training and, you know, you get a little sore and you're going on a fishing trip and you want to protect it and make sure things don't get worse. Literally, it's absolutely nothing. People are reaching, trying to make things that aren't. I'm getting older and I have to take care of my body, have to be smart. If I can take precautions and lessen something by putting on a boot, I'll do it. Sorry that I caused such a worry, end quote.
I'll tell you what, now this is going to be twice in one show where I've had to grudgingly compliment somebody or something about a team that I hate. So I did it with Derek Jeter and the Yankees earlier. The thing about Dak Prescott that I have respected through this contract go-around and his previous one a couple years ago,
yeah,
it's that every time he's talked about it, he's just flat out said, no, I'm not worried about it. I'm not, like, he is so far away from the way Brandon Ayuk is handling it, where he just wants Brandon Ayuk just wants to pile as much drama as possible onto it.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott every time says some version of, I let my agent handle it. He says he doesn't care at all about the money, which that might be a little bit disingenuous, but let's say you're not letting it affect your day-to-day life. You know, he's not. It helps when you've already been paid a mega contract, I suppose, that it's whatever his contract ends up being, he's already doing just fine.
Yeah.
But he's not you juxtapose that against, say, Tua. Tua Tagovailoa has just flat out said that it weighs on him, you know, that it's hard dealing with that uncertainty and everything. That's one of the things, ironically enough, that makes me feel like Tua's not the guy. Like, if I'm a GM and my quarterback is getting emotionally frazzled by various things that people worry about with quarterbacks, like, okay, well, then it's not the guy. If this guy's all worried about whether or not he gets paid,
that's a good point.
And it's affecting him somehow, I want my quarterback who's even Steven all the time and is emotionally unaffected by stuff like this.
But he's so damn good. It makes it a little, it gives me pause.
Tua?
Yeah. I like that guy, man. You know, come on. He's a good quarterback. Said, don't fall into that trap where it's like, okay, because he's not elite, then he sucks. He's a good quarterback.
He's a good quarterback for like 1.3 seconds. And then if there's any little glitch in the matrix, he falls apart. I've watched him in person enough, including at practice at NRG, to where I'm like, I don't get it. I do not see the, like, I don't, the, okay, great. The ball placement is pristine on the easier throws to a wide open Tyreek Hill or what have you. Yeah. He's good at finding the holes in zone coverage when you're, when safeties are backed up 40 yards off the line of scrimmage because they're petrified by the speed on your roster.
I cannot wait.
I just don't get it.
I cannot wait until Tua signs his big new contract and you fall out when you see the amount of money that this guy's going to get on the AAV. It's going to be crazy.
I won't freak out about it because I understand the pickle that teams are in with quarterback contracts these days. And I just look at it as I kind of, especially with an AFC opponent like I am with Trevor Lawrence, I'm kind of like, oh, I get why they did it, but it still does have the capacity to blow up in their face, and really, really hope it does.
Yeah, well, especially for the Jags. I totally get it from that standpoint. Up next on Headlines, we'll stick with football and the Jacksonville Jaguars. One of their quarterback hunters, if you will, is changing his last name. I don't know if you saw this, but the team announced yesterday that two-time Pro Bowl defensive end Josh Allen is changing his last name to Hines Allen to pay, quote, tribute to Joshua's maternal side of the family and the other relatives who have worn Hines and Hines Allen on their jerseys. This was a big did you know for me, because I didn't. Hines Allen's sister, Myesha Hines Allen, plays for the WNBA's Washington Mystics. Sisters Kyra Hines Allen is a ball player at Cheney University, and then LaTorre Hines Allen is a player at Virginia Tech. They played college basketball. In addition, Gregory Hines, is this the Gregory Hines, by the way? Do you know if that's the case?
I can't imagine there's more than one notable Gregory Hines. I would have picked up on it. I don't know.
I don't know if they're just dropping like Gregory Hines. Like,
oh, no, it's not. No, it's not, because he was drafted by the Golden State Warriors in 1983.
Okay, yeah,
they would have mentioned that it was the Gregory, if it was tap dancing Gregory Hines. They wouldn't have brought up that he had a Hall of Fame career at Hampton University before they, and then neglect to mention that it was, oh yeah, Gregory Hines, the notable actor.
Still a pretty notable athlete of with the name Gregory Hines. That's pretty cool. Josh Hines Allen's uncle, Gregory Hines.
This is a big victory for sports talk. I tire of having to explain that I'm talking about Josh Allen, the Jaguars pass rusher, every time I mention. Even if the Texans are in the middle of a game versus the Jaguars, I somehow feel like I have to explain that that's not Josh Allen, the quarterback. That's Josh Allen, the pass rusher for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, there is.
So we're good now.
There is definitely the innate feeling that you should correct or just clarify, if you will, when you are talking about it. I don't know why that is.
I am not happy about the increasing hyphenization of athletes' names.
Doesn't appease fans either way. It doesn't matter what you say. Yeah. It doesn't matter what you do. You just have to play, and you have to play well for fans to ultimately welcome you with open arms and keep you as one of theirs.
And I think the mistake that the Astros made was that they essentially went into the season relying on McCullers, and they basically said, he's coming back. We expect him back, you know, after the All-Star break, and he's going to, you know, it's like making a trade. You know, this is our deadline trade is getting Lance McCullers. And now all of a sudden that's thrown up in the air. And, you know, this is a team that is in desperate need of starting pitching. And, you know, Ronel Blanco crossed 100 innings last night, and he's going to be in uncharted territory pretty soon. Same thing with Spencer Arrighetti. Like, they're in kind of a perilous situation when it comes to their rotation.
Well, and Hunter Brown, too, as awesome as he's been, you know, he's going to end up pitching more innings than he's ever pitched before, most likely. And he struggled with that last year when he pitched 162 innings. That's they are in a precarious situation. That's part of the Astros. Even as generally, I feel really good about what they've been doing, they still are in this precarious position. That's where some of the decisions that the really, really all-time teams that are able to sustain dynasties like the Patriots in football, like it's knowing when to say goodbye to guys, or at the very least not rely on the older guys. And Abreu obviously was an errant decision on an older guy. Verlander on his contract, I'm cool with, but you can't go into the season, like you said, Adam, you can't go into the season relying on certain things like an older pitcher to remain injury free, or on Lance McCullers coming back when he's been continually banged up and injured. There's nothing you can really do about Lance McCullers' injury, but it's just other than manage the roster differently around it. That was like Joe Shane on Hard Knocks has been getting a lot of crap for how he handled the Saquon Barkley situation. Not because he let him go, but just some of the things he did.
Yeah.
But like at the root of it all, I think that he made the right decision when it comes to managing a roster and knowing that, look, Saquon Barkley might end up being one of these exceptions to a rule and end up being great when he's 28, 29, 30, but we can't take that risk right now because we got to spend money elsewhere. And it's a hard decision to make to let go of a really good football player, but I get it. I get what he did. And it's just, it's that much harder when you're a team that's already good because you got to make hard decisions like that.
He's Seth Payne, Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast, Adam Spillane hanging out with us as well this morning. Our baseball talk presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Coming up next, we'll have headlines, and well, this is going to be fun. It's a hodgepodge of things you won't want to miss. It involves Dallas, a little sex abuse, a quarterback hunter, and, well, a Yankee or two, maybe three. And who's going to be in and out? That's next at Sports Radio 610.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, first up on headlines, Ocho is human. Don't worry about it, my man. We've got our daily update from Ocho via the text line, Seth. He says, SB, I just manually lifted my garage door to take out the trash because I have no power. But upon my return, yeah, I habitually pressed the garage door button to close it. Good morning. Good morning. You awake yet, Ocho? I did the same thing like multiple times yesterday. It's going to happen, man. In terms of power outages, thanks for reminding. That'll be our first headline for the day. According to the latest tracker on CenterPoint, now 1.37 million in change. Customers still affected with power outages in and around the
area.
A lot of people
have been using the Whataburger app, apparently.
What's up with this? Do share, please.
I don't know exactly
how
it works.
You don't understand how it works?
Because CenterPoint's map had gone on the fritz yesterday.
Yeah.
There's the apparently Whataburger's app and just finding out which ones are open or have power. It provides real time updates on location closures, using a gray Whataburger logo to indicate which stores are closed. So customers are watching the app to know which areas of the state have restored power.
Ah, there you go. Yeah.
So there you go. Whataburger.
If a Whataburger is operational, chances are that the surrounding area is good. Is that the idea there? That's the philosophy?
Dude, I'll tell you what. If you're a Whataburger without power, it's that much more urgent than in a lot of places because you can grab some stuff out of the freezer and take it to somewhere else where that fresh meat... They don't freeze it, man. So you got to get it the hell to a freezer ASAP. A lot a lot of Whataburger managers working 24-hour shifts.
I am dreading having to clean out my freezer when power comes back on and everything is kind of restored back to normalcy. It's going to be a disaster, man. And it's going to be sitting
right
in my trash. Well, yeah, no, it's too late. It's been defrosted for a good 48 hours
it's probably take your meat thermometer and see if it's still at 42 degrees or less. Maybe it's still at refrigerated temperature, or you're completely kaput.
I have not checked. I'm just afraid to check. Yeah, it's
afraid to open it at
all. Yeah, I am. My neighbors yesterday asked me, and I'm kind of making my rounds, checking on people in the hood, their fences and stuff like that. And one of my neighbors was like, yeah, how'd you make out? And I was like, well, everything seems to be okay, like, you know, carpet's dry, no leaks inside the house. But to be honest with him, I said, I haven't really looked too closely at my shingles because I'm afraid of what I might find. And so, you know, with no water being in the house, it's like, I'm good right now. I'll check on all of that stuff later. Ignorance is kind of bliss for me at this point in time.
I'm not going to criticize any of your strategies right now. You got a lot going on.
I do. But I'm going to have to bite the bullet at some point in time. Dak Prescott says nothing is wrong with his ankle. You can choose to believe what you want to about this situation, but many people obviously aware by now that Dak Prescott, Cowboy quarterback, was seen in a walking boot while on vacation in Cabo. Picture posted of him last week already, was it, on Twitter?
It was posted on Twitter, but then there was a clarification immediately after that it was from earlier in the offseason.
Yeah.
It wasn't clear like that was a current picture. It was just something from nobody knows exactly when it was.
Right. It seemed a little sketch, right? Well, yesterday at a youth football camp that he was hosting in South Lake, he said he's doing great. Here's a quote from Prescott. Quote, "Honestly, I'm getting older. It's the same ankle that I snapped and I had a nasty surgery on 4 years ago. So a couple of hard days of training and, you know, you get a little sore and you're going on a fishing trip and you want to protect it and make sure things don't get worse. Literally, it's absolutely nothing. People are reaching, trying to make things that aren't. I'm getting older and I have to take care of my body, have to be smart. If I can take precautions and lessen something by putting on a boot, I'll do it. Sorry that I caused such a worry," end quote.
I'll tell you what, now this is going to be twice in one show where I've had to grudgingly compliment somebody or something about a team that I hate. So I did it with Derek Jeter and the Yankees earlier. The thing about Dak Prescott that I have respected through this contract go-around and his previous one a couple years ago,
yeah,
it's that he, every time he's talked about it, he's just flat out said, no, I'm not worried about it. I'm not, like, he is so far away from the way Brandon Ayuk is handling it, where he just wants Brandon Ayuk just wants to pile as much drama as possible onto it.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott every time says some version of, I let my agent handle it. He says he doesn't care at all about the money, which that might be a little bit disingenuous, but let's say you're not letting it affect your day-to-day life. You know, he's not. It helps when you've already been paid a mega contract, I suppose, that it's whatever his contract ends up being, he's already doing just fine.
Yeah.
But he's not you juxtapose that against, say, Tua. Tua Tagovailoa has just flat out said that it weighs on him, you know, that it's hard dealing with that uncertainty and everything. That's one of the things, ironically enough, that makes me feel like Tua's not the guy. Like, if I'm a GM and my quarterback is getting emotionally frazzled by various things that people worry about with quarterbacks, like, okay, well, that's not the guy. If this guy's all worried about whether or not he gets paid,
that's a good point.
And it's affecting him somehow, I want my quarterback who's even Steven all the time and is emotionally unaffected by stuff like this.
But he's so damn good. It gives me pause.
Tua?
Yeah. I like that guy, man. Come on. He's a good quarterback. Said, don't fall into that trap where it's like, okay, because he's not elite, then he sucks. He's a good quarterback.
He's a good quarterback for like 1.3 seconds. And then if there's any little glitch in the matrix, he falls apart. I've watched him in person enough, including at practice at NRG, to where I'm like, I don't get it. I do not see the ball placement is pristine on the easier throws to a wide open Tyreek Hill or what have you.
Yeah.
He's good at finding the holes in zone coverage when safeties are backed up 40 yards off the line of scrimmage because they're petrified by the speed on your roster.
I cannot wait.
I just don't get it.
I cannot wait until Tua signs his big new contract and you fall out when you see the amount of money that this guy's going to get on the AAV. It's going to be crazy.
I won't freak out about it because I understand the pickle that teams are in with quarterback contracts these days. And I just look at it as especially with an AFC opponent like I am with Trevor Lawrence, I'm kind of like, I get why they did it, but it still does have the capacity to blow up in their face. And really, really hope it does.
Yeah. Well, especially for the Jags. I totally get it from that standpoint. Up next on Headlines, we'll stick with football and the Jacksonville Jaguars. One of their quarterback hunters, if you will, is changing his last name. I don't know if you saw this, but the team announced yesterday that two-time Pro Bowl defensive end Josh Allen is changing his last name to Hines Allen to pay, quote, tribute to Joshua's maternal side of the family and the other relatives who have worn Hines and Hines Allen on their jerseys. This was a big did you know for me, because I didn't. Hines Allen's sister, Myesha Hines Allen, plays for the WNBA's Washington Mystics. Sisters Kyra Hines Allen is a ball player at Cheney University, And then LaTorre Hines-Allen is a player at Virginia Tech. They played college basketball. In addition, Gregory Hines, is this the Gregory Hines, by the way? Do you know if that's the case?
I can't imagine there's more than one notable Gregory Hines. I would have picked up on it. I don't know.
I don't know if they're just dropping like Gregory Hines. Like,
oh, no, it's not. No, it's not, because he was drafted by the Golden State Warriors in 1983.
Okay, yeah,
they would have mentioned that it was the Gregory, if it was tap dancing Gregory Hines. They wouldn't have brought up that he had a Hall of Fame career at Hampton University before they, and then neglect to mention that it was, oh yeah, Gregory Hines, the notable actor.
Still a pretty notable athlete with the name Gregory Hines. That's pretty cool. Josh Hines Allen's uncle, Gregory Hines.
This is a big victory for Sports Talk. I tire of having to explain that I'm talking about Josh Allen, the Jaguars pass rusher, every time I mention. Even if the Texans are in the middle of a game versus the Jaguars, I somehow feel like I have to explain that that's not Josh Allen, the quarterback. That's Josh Allen, the pass rusher for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, there is.
So we're good now.
There is definitely the innate feeling that you should correct or just clarify, if you will, when you are talking about it. I don't know why that is.
I am not happy about the increasing hyphenization of athletes' names. Listen, kids. This is how you did it back in the old days. One of the parents gets the short shrift, all right? Okay, it was a divorce. It's awful, okay? Pick one and go with it, okay? And then use that as leverage against the other one, all right? You divide and conquer between your two parents. What are you kids doing? What game are you even playing right now? Who was it? Woods Richardson, the pitcher for the Twins on Sunday. He doesn't even do us the service of giving a hyphen. It's so confusing.
Yeah,
boy. Does he have his full name on the back of his jersey? No, his last name's Woods Richardson.
Yeah,
hyphen.
He needed the first name to complete the circle around the jersey number on the back.
Yeah, Simeon Woods Richardson, which is a hell of a name.
Yes.
It's a very good name for an author. If you're an author, that's a hell of a name to put on the hardcover. But I don't know. At the very least, put a hyphen in there.
I'm done with it. That was the longest name that I'd seen on the back of a Major League Baseball jersey since Jared Saltalamacchia, the catcher for the, at least I remember him from the Red Sox and the Rangers.
Yeah.
Probably played for a couple of other teams. But yeah, that was my favorite. And I still haven't done the math.
It was like the St. Louis Arch on the back of his jersey.
Yeah,
it was completely vertical on the left all the way up, arching skyward, and then down to the right with the end, down on his right love handle.
Exactly. We've got a couple of more to get to, but we've got a long segment and we roll into the 7 o'clock hour. So I'll throw in a couple of more headlines there. We'll also get to some more football. The Texans and their new linebacker, one of them, revealed a different side of head coach DeMeco Ryans. I'll let Seth Payne explain that when we return. He's Seth Payne, Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast. You're listening to Sports Radio 610. Stay there.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Everybody knows it. Toyota trucks are the stuff of legends. Rugged, durable, everlasting. Toyota makes trucks that just don't quit. And now, Toyota is driving that legacy toward the future with two of their most powerful trucks ever, the new Tundra and the all-new Tacoma. In a half-ton Tundra, you can rule the roads. From the comfort of a spacious cabin with connected tech and plenty of hauling power, the Tundra is ready to work hard and play even harder. Or check out the all-new 24 Tacoma, redesigned and electrified to maximize your adventure. With a bevy of available off-road driving and power transfer modes, you will effortlessly crush the conditions. And with the Tacoma's reimagined interior, you'll do it in style. And right now, your local Toyota dealer has more vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day. So don't wait. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.